Hello and welcome to Plus One, the voice of the Apache Software Foundation. Today I'm speaking with James Fredley and James Daugherty from the newly graduated Grails Project. Thank you so much for your time.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here as well.
So let's start with the question that's been on my mind. This is not a new project. This is a 20-year-old project. Why Apache at this point, after all of these years establishing a solid project with a solid user base and reputation, why would you come to Apache at this point?
Apache Grails has existed for 20 years. It might hold the claim there of the oldest project to move over to the ASF. I'm not 100% sure of that, but
I think that's true.
It probably is. Over the years, Grails has been sponsored by a number of organizations. So initially it was G2One, which was a startup, and then SpringSource acquired G2One. So it was shepherded by SpringSource for a number of years until 2015. And then it moved over to OCI, and OCI sponsored it directly. And then they created a foundation for it called the Grails Foundation, and then nested Grails Foundation under Unity Foundation, which provided foundation support for a number of open source foundations that they had created. And then about 18 months ago, they decided to kind of change course there in terms of those foundations. And then it was, you know, really a call to the user base, which was kind of what the community looked like. It was mostly end users, came together and started to work on determining what the future of Grails would look like. And in that process, Grails is a full stack web application framework on top of Spring Boot using Apache Groovy. Apache Groovy had lived at Apache for since 2015. So 9 years at the time, 10 years now. And so it was the kind of the most logical fit because they're such sister projects to go over to Apache. Also with some of the regulatory things that are coming up in the future, it seemed like it made sense to be at a larger foundation versus kind of trying to like roll it our own with some places that'll provide some of the services. And then, so that's where, you know, I think there was some exploration around Codehouse and maybe a couple of others, but ASF always seemed like the right place. And so it was pretty exciting when it was like, hey, yeah, this is ASF's going to allow us to come over and incubate under Apache Groovy. Apache Groovy mentored us kind of through the whole ASF transition process, which was a lot of work, a tremendous amount of work. I do believe it was worth it. And so that was really the thought around it. I'd say the most obvious reason was just that the fact that Apache Groovy was already at Apache and it made sense to be in the same place.
Well, and just to expand on that, a lot of our team members that contribute to Grails were on or either on the Groovy PMC or a Groovy committer already. And one of the things we found from querying our community was the ASF was known to be open. It had a well-defined process, and adopting, no matter what we did, we had to adopt a new process. And the community seemed more willing to adopt the ASF process instead of our own.
Another question that I tend to ask projects that are this mature is, what is there still to do? You recently had your 7.0 release. That feels like a major milestone.
Right. I mean, from a technical perspective, there's a lot to do. One of the things that we are not just a platform or a framework that people use. People also use several of the build tools that we put out. So we put out like a Grails publish plugin that makes it easier to publish to Maven Central or Sonatype. And the reason for that is people write plugins for our framework. And as part of adopting a build process, it can be cumbersome not to have some guidance. So I like to think of this as an ecosystem, not just a framework. And in terms of things to do, an ecosystem is constantly evolving. I mean, we're built on Spring Boot. You're constantly updating dependencies. You're updating major, like Spring Boot 4 is coming out within the year, I think. And as part of that, you look at major initiatives. Just keeping the lights on is a major initiative. And then since coming to the ASF, we've actually gotten a lot more community feedback, a lot more requests. One of the things that we learned early on is, as part of consolidating to a mono repo, we had to move all the tickets into one spot. And there's a history of a lot of requests where it was a pull request is, hey, submit a pull request and we'll take it. But we found in practice, those pull requests weren't always taken. And there seems to be a renewed interest in committing to Grails as a result. Other than the build, the ecosystem, keeping up to date, I mean, major features. I mean, we obviously have our Grails data and the implementations that we use for it. We'll have several, I guess, they call them ORMs, frameworks that were up and coming. I know there's a desire to support more and more in the community, but I mean, is there one thing? I mean, I can't think of one thing. I mean, the tickets that we have, we've really tried to reduce the number of tickets that have been opened, and the ones that are left, I mean, there are some just major features in there that need to be done.
I think the community piece of it, I would say, is honestly actually the largest piece. And so it's been encouraging. And I know I've put a lot of effort into the community kind of management side of things to kind of bring people back into the fold. Most of those are end users. So they work at a company or they own a company or and then there's also some that are consultants that just work on Grails projects, but really kind of trying to bring everybody kind of back into the fold, let them know that the project is alive and well. There was some concerns around stagnation, and there definitely were some concerns when there was, you know, a level of funding pooled around future development. But I think all of that's worked out in the end, because there's been a group of us kind of joined in and volunteered. 30 people contributed to the Grail 7 release, which is probably 6 times any release in the prior 5-year period.
That's fantastic. And
you know, the majority of that work was by a small number of that 30. I think that's a reality for most open source projects, but to have 30 in there is massive. And then, you know, we just did another release over the weekend. There was one or two new people that weren't part of that 30 that contributed. And so I think that starts to show that we're beginning to get the flywheel, the open source flywheel, to start to function around the project. Previously, it was always like single organization led. Even when was put into a foundation, it was still largely single organization led. And now it's more of a collective community with vendor neutrality. And so, like I said, I think that community piece is huge. You know, for us, there were a few things we couldn't complete in 7. There's probably 5,000 or 6,000 collective hours into it. There's like 2,000 commits. I mean, it got a little out of hand how much effort it took to get us to 7 and to get us up to date, up to speed on the Apache way processes. But as we move to 8 for us will be based on Spring Boot 4 and on Spring Framework 7. And there's a couple of things we didn't get to for 7 that we need to work on for 8. So Hibernate, we're going to move up to Hibernate 6.6 or to all the way to 7. The nice thing is if we go to 7, Hibernate relicensed. So they went through the process to relicense from LGPL all the way over to Apache 2. And they reached out to every contributor of every line of code in Hibernate to relicense, which I can't even imagine how hard that was, but they did get that done. So that's going to be big. And then we have a CLI, and the CLI, there just wasn't time to update a couple of those dependencies. It got deprecated and removed kind of all at once. And there were some use cases that everyone loves in Grails. So we kind of resurrected it. I participated largely in that process to resurrect it, bring it back. So we brought it back in 6. It's there in 7. And we'll have to figure out kind of exactly how we want to approach that for 8. But those are kind of like two of the things that we didn't get to in 7 that we'll get to in 8. And then with 8, I mean, it's going to be a brand new version of Spring Boot, brand new version of Spring Framework. It'll also be a Jakarta EE 11 instead of 10. And so kind of getting up to speed on all of those standards is going to be some additional effort for us.
We kind of talk about what was our biggest hurdle. There was a major change in the Java ecosystem a couple of years ago with the transition from Java X to Jakarta. Mm-hmm. And being an ecosystem, you kind of had to wait. You didn't have to, but Grails' approach was, let's await for everyone to get on Jakarta before we go to Jakarta. But what that meant for Grails 7 was suddenly you had a huge uphill battle that it was do everything. And honestly, one of the reasons Grails 7 took so long to release was, I mean, we would fix one set of dependencies and then we'd realize, oh, there's another one. We'd have a new language. We went from Groovy 3 to Groovy 4. We'd have a new platform. It was just, everything was just compounded. And if I ever have to do this again, incremental changes are our friend.
Tell me a little bit more about your release publishing process. And this is of particular interest to the larger Apache conversation, because as you know, and as I just did an interview with Dave about the work that the tooling group is doing around releases. So tell me something about this.
I kind of have a personal motto that if I'm going to do something a lot, I'm going to automate it.
Yeah.
And one of the things about the ASF process, there's the process itself, but I think it's important to cover kind of the best practices, or kind of, I don't want to say rules, but let's say kind of expectations of any project at ASF. I mean, one of the things that we had to do early on is we had to make sure all of our code was consistent, licensed, chose the right category A license or B license, as the ASF would call, and make sure there's no category X licenses. And so we spent a lot of time making sure we had tools in place to be compliant, not only with ASF policy, but to automate releases. And specifically about that, let's talk about different components. There are GitHub Actions that we created to facilitate. So first of all, I should mention, we are a Gradle project. We are not a Maven project. And so all of our tooling has been focused around kind of the Gradle ecosystem. We had put together a series of GitHub Actions that really automate the release process. And what I mean by that, I don't mean the ASF release process, but I mean the process of staging a build.
Yeah.
And so if you think about staging a build, you're typically in a snapshot version. What's the first thing you have to do when you want to stage a build? You need to change the version. So there's a GitHub action that out there that when you create, we use GitHub releases to, and the GitHub action workflow to stage and ultimately release an ASF release. But so we initially create a GitHub release in a pre-release state, and then a GitHub action kicks off, which will update to the version that matches the GitHub release version. So we don't have to check in manual code. And by pushing a button on the interface, we know the version that we entered in that interface appears in the tag for that code. We know that we need to be reproducible as a build. And that was probably our largest hurdle. I have a goal to extract several of our reproducibility type changes we had to make into its own Gradle plugin. But unfortunately, it's an internal plugin or internal Gradle config at this point. We build in GitHub Action after the version is changed. We then will zip up a source release. We build with a consistent date using a source date. I think it's Epicot or Epic. The initial guidance was really given by ASF security of, hey, if you want to use an untrusted platform, you need to be able to build in that platform, and then you need to be able to verify it separately. So one of the things we did next was, okay, we can stage automatically from GitHub Actions. So we zip up the source files after they're built, and we can then call a vote. We don't have a lot of post automation after the vote, because ASF rules say that we were not allowed to. We're hoping that going forward, that when we can take advantage of the tooling project, we can add further levels of automation. A good example is you have to move the build file from a dev or a staging area to a release area. Historically, we were told that that was done manually. It is done manually still on our project, but there's a script that helps you move that. I mean, everything we do, we just realized early on that there's so many checkboxes, so many steps as part of the ASF release that we kept making mistakes. And so every time we made a mistake, we either added a placeholder in the GitHub action workflow or we automated it. Most of the places that we put placeholders were really because ASF policy doesn't allow us to automate that. And the tooling project is promising for us, because we should be able to circle back and handle that. some examples, some other components, I guess, to the process. We wrote a wrapper, a Gradle wrapper plugin that really takes several Gradle plugins to facilitate easier publishing logic. We called it Grails Publish. We released it separately from Grails. It's called Grails only because our project is called Grails. There's not really anything specific to Grails about that project. And what that allows you to do is there's a lot of boilerplate to configure publishing, whether it be to Nexus, whether it be to Maven Central now, whether it be to Artifactory, whether it be to Sonatype. Internally, the ASF uses Sonatype, so we just use our own plugin to publish to Sonatype. And as part of that workflow, it also has an approval. So rather than going into repository.apache.org and saying, here's my artifacts to upload, the Publish plugin is responsible for putting those artifacts in the staging repository. Rather than going after the vote and clicking approve, we have a Gradle command that we can run that will connect and effectively approve the move from staging to release. Unfortunately, some of those steps we can't put in the GitHub action, and it's only by policy. We're hoping longer term we can. Other examples is we produce documentation as part of our staging process. The actual publish of that documentation occurs via GitHub action that is responsible for checking out like the GitHub pages branch and pushing to it. Every time we encountered a paper cut, we fix that paper cut so that we can effectively stage a release in about 20 minutes. And it's really like 2 or 3 minutes of being heavily involved. We also did, in terms of verification, we realized early on that there's a lot to kind of verify as part of a process. Did you sign these jars? Did you include license files? Did you include notice file? Did you include, there's all this laundry list of things that the ASF really prefers. So what we did is we wrote a script, and every time we were told, hey, this file, every file should have a license text file in it. Every file should have a notice in it. It goes and downloads every single jar file in the staging repository and verifies not only its signature, verifies all those files are present, and verifies that there's not a snapshot version, for an example, that was included in a POM. So there's a level of testing that happened as a result of coming to the ASF that I don't think Grails ever had before. We produce an SBOM now that gets included in our jar files. We say that we're an enterprise, I guess, platform or framework. We want to make sure that that is reflected in our release process. The verification scripts that we wrote, one of the things that we discovered is there is variability between a GitHub action run, which runs on Ubuntu Linux, and a local Mac OS. And so for reproducibility reasons, we make use of a Docker container locally where we run those scripts in a Docker container, and it does all the automated checks and then says, hey, go generate some applications, start those applications, look at the result. What this means for people that do a Grails release, when we're signing off on a vote, we know that we're compliant with all the ASF policy because there's literally an automated check for it. We know that the build is not broken. All the tests have passed. We know that everything's been signed. We know that an SBOM has been produced, and we know what vulnerabilities, if we have any, are out there. So what that means for an end user is you can point to the staging repository, quickly upgrade your application, do all those automated checks as well, and you've done almost a full regression test on Grails at that point, which is a pretty, I think it's a pretty large accomplishment.
Grails is a huge project. We have a ton of sub-projects. It's probably one of the most extreme, I would say, Gradle builds. I mean, maybe anywhere. I mean, it's pretty intense. How many jars are we
publishing? We're publishing 312 jars minimum every build. And so when they came to us and said, you need to do all of this in your jar file, and I'm like, this will take me 2 weeks. I can't look through every one of these jar files. And I want to make sure this is reproducible. So that's why we did the scripting route.
When the two of us and several others got really involved in the Grails project, we did a few releases prior to the move to Apache. So we did a few releases on Grails 6.2. So we did 6.2.1, 6.2.2, and 6.2.3. And then we did some milestones on 7. I'll tell you, when I took over 621, we didn't release everything. We only had to release a few things, but it took days just to do those few things. And then when we finally got into doing milestones on 7, before we consolidated dozens of repositories down into a single one, we had a release that took over a week to complete, because we'd go release this thing, then we'd have to come over here, update the version, release this thing. And
it took 3 weeks for our initial release of Grails 7, because it was painful enough that I remembered it. And the thing that was worse about that is if you messed up anywhere along the way, you had to start over. And so we had several failed releases early on outside of ASF when we went to 7. I think we had, 48 repositories total. And in those repositories were dozens of projects. There was a real debate amongst our group. Well, there was a fear that the mono repo would mean slow. And in practice on modern hardware, we've discovered that modern Gradle makes that absolutely false. Now, with that said, GitHub Actions does not have modern hardware. So our builds do take longer in GitHub Actions. And we know there are some race conditions in our test, for an example, that can cause those builds to even take longer. And we intend to fix them longer term.
Last Wednesday, I staged the 701 release. The stage part of it, like James said, it you literally just go in and create the release in GitHub. It starts running that release workflow. It goes through 3 steps and then it waits. So there's a gate there, and there's a certain subset of us that on the BMC that are allowed to move it forward from that step. And then there's the verification. And so you run the verification locally. It does thousands, probably tens of thousands of checks, quite literally. And you kind of see it going through, and it'll let you know what didn't pass. So when we did 701, there was only one thing that didn't pass, and it was a known thing. It was on the reproducibility side, but it was in documentation. It wasn't in actual code. And so it's great to run that. So, I mean, you know, it ran in a container locally on my machine. It probably ran for 30 or 40 minutes, but it's doing like 10,000 things for you. It would have taken you a month to do it manually. That's really awesome. And then, you know, it even spits out the template for you to send the email for the vote. Then we do the vote. Then 3 days later, you come back in and you complete the process. And it probably takes about an hour there. So you're looking at like to do a release, soup the nuts. You're looking at maybe 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours.
I think on my hardware, it may take an hour, but I mean, it comes down to how fast your network is, because those jar files are huge when you download 300 of them. I mean, individually, they're pretty reasonable. I've actually not looked at the code, the line count in Grails, but I mean, we are a very large project, and unfortunately, and one thing that was amazing about Grails is it was architected so that it was split up into a lot of projects. One thing that was not amazing is where our dependency chains we're still working on. I think there's still some potential for refactoring there. We did receive contributions from Gradle themselves. They have an open source representative that helped tune our build after we had tuned it. And the feedback that we received from them was wonderful. Our biggest hurdle is we had to modernize not only had to go to a mono repo, we had to modernize our build. And for Grails, that was a very big undertaking. The GitHub Action workflows that we put together, we've been slowly making more and more generic. And Mateus, which is a contributor on our PMC, has recently made an effort, I think, to even almost make it fully generic, at least in the Spring Security project. Our GitHub workflow could probably be just copyable, I mean, with just very trivial changes. Yep. And the other thing that we did do is we created a markdown file that documented not only how our entire release process works, but documents the history of why it works that way, including the ASF policies for why, how did you meet build reproducibility, or more specific, verifiable. And it's checked in under Grails Core. Any ASF member that is interested in a kind of an accelerated publishing path, I would strongly recommend looking at that file, because almost everything you need is in that release markdown file.
I definitely encourage anyone that's been in the Grails ecosystem over the years, you know, it's 20 years, there's a lot of us, to just come take a fresh look. The process has changed. It's all volunteer driven now. So I would say it's more open than it has been historically. You know, if you have an older Grails project, You know, there's users that are still on Grails kind of 2 and 3 and 4. It is time to upgrade to 7 just because the support policy has changed on Spring. And so the only supported versions of Spring Boot are the more recent 3X versions. And so you will want to migrate over to Grails 7. That process should be fairly well lit from Grails 4, 5, or 6 to Grails 7. We've done an excellent job in documentation of detailing every single thing that most of the things that you will encounter are in the documentation on the upgrade guide. And so we encourage kind of the user base to upgrade to Grails 7. There's some work right now going on Grails 7.1, and then Spring Boot 4 and Spring Framework 7 are going to be out at the end of November of this year. So like within the month, and then we'll be able to start working on Grails 8. 7's a good place to upgrade to, and then there'll be work starting on Grails 8, which will be based on Spring Boot 4, Spring Framework 7, and then Jakarta EE 11 will be starting, and that will be a release sometime next year. It's a great time to be involved in the ecosystem. It's a great time to update your application, get away from the older versions that are no longer have open source support. The community is very active. The frequency of posts and the number of people that are participating in the conversation has increased quite a bit, especially in the last, I would say, month or two, mm-hmm. as the project's graduated and 7's been released. But over the last year, even over the last 18 months, it's been a really awesome process to participate in. A number of people who had never talked to each other before all came together as volunteers and worked collectively to upgrade everything, take care of some technical debt or significant technical debt, and also migrate the project over to Apache. We'll have a long lifespan.
We're available to talk at any time. James and I are both in the Apache Slack, and we also have our own Slack channel. Obviously, our mailing lists are available. Please don't hesitate to reach out, even if it's non-Grails questions. We're here to help. If we could share some of the work that we've done, we don't want it to seem to go waste with just us, especially if it helps other projects. I've reached out to several people in the ASF infrastructure chat where they hadn't published in several months, and they were asking how to get started. And I've suggested, well, here's the fast tracks. And just realized we're very open and we're very willing to contribute.
Thank you, James and James, so much for your time. And welcome to the Apache family. We look forward to seeing what the project does in the years to come.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.